This is Application Paranoia, Season 2, Episode 3. So welcome again to Application Paranoia, our twice monthly podcast into application security, DevSecOps, and AppScan. I'm Colin Bell, and on this week's show, we'll be learning about the new things coming to AppScan on cloud from Kathleen Brady. We'll be discussing the recent incident at Florida Water, and I'll be discussing how mullets are not really extinct. But before all that, I want to introduce you to my panel. As always, I have Rob Cuddy and Christopher Dewar joining me. So hi, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Colin. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. What's happening in sunny California?
People are excited because we are getting a return to high school sports. So things are actually happening. And it's only now, mid-February, and we're finally getting to fall sports. So things like cross country have started, and football will be starting in the next week or so. They're actually going to be getting into pads expected later this week. So lots of good stuff happening there. Pretty excited about it.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And Chris, how are you doing?
You know, living the dream. Did my disc golf tournament over the weekend. Came in fourth. Woo! Woo-hoo! One spot out of the money, but that's okay.
Was there any four in it?
No. No, there were at least five in the tournament.
Yeah, I was not fourth out of four, if that's what you're asking, Colin. There's 26 of us. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, that's very good. That's quite impressive, then.
It's better than fourth out of five.
So wait, with 26 people, do you all have like set tee times?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't have set tee times. It's not as many people as you think. Four people in a group, 18 holes. Oh, okay. It spreads out pretty easy.
Nice. And what do you get at tee time? Do you get scones and cakes?
I wish. No. You get a good look. It's snowing out. Have a nice day.
So again, this is one of our odd numbered episodes. And as always promised, we were going to bring along one of our product managers to join us. So I'm delighted to welcome Kathleen Brady, who is one of our PMs for AppScan. So welcome, Kathleen. Welcome to our podcast, our craziness.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You're in the sort of northeast of the US as well. So are you getting snow today? What's happening in your neck of the woods?
We're supposed to get some snow today. I'm not sure how much it will amount to, but we've had enough in the past weeks to still have a lot of fun outdoors in the snow. So
you can cross country ski to work.
My commute to work is really easy these days. It's easier than that.
Exactly. Yeah, mine's from upstairs to upstairs. So
I live in a bungalow, so I don't even get from upstairs to downstairs. It's just one room to the next room. Yes. All very simple.
Downstairs to downstairs.
It's just stairs. Nice.
It's funny because we actually have a cupboard in our house where we keep our coats and shoes and stuff like that. And myself and my wife still refer to it as under the stairs, even though we don't have stairs. You know, it's just one of those things.
You know, work under there. Like Harry Potter.
Right.
We're kicking you in there.
Exactly, exactly. We're here to, Kathleen, we've got you on the show to talk a little bit about AppScan news. There's a few things that have happened in the last while that I'd like to dwell into a little bit. We're doing the AppScan news every now and again. We're not doing it as frequently as before, so some things change fairly quickly. But the one thing in relation to our ASOC in particular is I believe there's a whole lot of new dashboards that have been launched on ASOC recently. Is there anything in particular around that people should know or look out for dashboarding and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we did. So as you know, we deployed new dashboards in ASOC in Q4, and the new dashboards allow users to now be able to easily view application status. They can view areas to improve and take action on, or they can view trends at the organization, business unit, and now at the asset group level.
Wow. Now, I mean, that is quite impressive. I haven't actually seen them. I must have a look.
Wow.
In terms of other things, we've been hearing a lot of stuff around the new experience for ASOC. So one of the reasons we want to get our PMs on here is maybe to hear a little bit about what might be in the future. Now, I know you can't give too much away, but it'd be really good to understand maybe what's coming in the next few months, or maybe even a lot further out than that, if you can tell us a little bit about some of that. But the new experience for ASOC, and I actually just before this call got a little preview, so I kind of know what's coming. Kind of excited to understand, you know, a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it looks amazing. The team has been, right?
It really does.
Yeah. The team has been really working hard on a full refresh of the ASOC user experience. At the same time, they've also been adding capabilities and ease of use improvements. Users are going to see really great improvements in the use of screen real estate. This is a request that came from a lot of our customers, so I know that they'll be very pleased to know that that's coming. The refresh is also going to have overall enhancements to how tables are now supporting search and columns and sorting. And all of it is going to have a very consistent design and consistent user experience elements.
Right. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Chris, have you seen any of this yet?
No, I haven't had a chance to take a peek at it, but I'm pretty stoked. Yeah. There are definitely some areas that are a little bit difficult to work with at the moment. So I'm kind of excited to see what these changes have done for us.
Yep.
I mean, this is people time we're talking about.
Yeah, I would love to see it too, because it makes such a big difference when you can customize it a bit, you know, and see what you need in the context of your organization. Mm-hmm. So I love the direction that that's going in, because that's something we talk about all the time. Flexibility, visibility, all of those things coming together. So making that experience consistent across different applications, but giving you some of the touch points to make it real, that's just going to be goodness for everybody.
And then there will also be improvements to areas like our scan wizards and report generation. So you're going to see new reports as well.
Nice.
And yeah. I know you guys are talking about you can't wait to see it. So it's expected for March, but we're going to be blogging about it. We're going to have videos. Customers can subscribe to our YouTube channel. They can subscribe to AppScan News so that they can see it before it's shipped.
And I imagine it will be at some point on a future version of AppScan Tuesdays.
Yep, you can definitely find it on AppScan Tuesdays. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you can look for This is AppScan, and it will come up with all of our AppScan Tuesday episodes.
Excellent. And so sort of March timeframe. So that's not that far away then, yeah? So that's something to look forward to. I mean, this will... March isn't that far away. I can't believe that.
No.
Seems like it's only been just Christmas.
No.
This has been the longest 2 months of the year. It's February 1st.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Now we're close to March almost.
So, Kathleen, I also believe that there are some changes to do with policies and the way policies are working. Chris, do you know about this? Yeah,
I don't, so, but I saw that little snippet, and boy, howdy, was I stoked.
Yes. So another area that the team has improved is how policies are defined and associated with applications. So all the policies we include in our industry standard and regulatory reports are now going to be supported in the policy view for compliance.
Yeah, this is a big, big deal. We can use those regulations like we talked about last season on episode 15, now that I can bring that up. But we talked about how regulations are a great, great, great place to start. And if you have thousands or even in some cases, hundreds of thousands of issues that you got to get through, it's really nice to whittle that list down to things that are applying or applicable to these policies to be able to start eating that elephant as a starting place. Again, not the end all be all, but definitely awesome as a starting place.
And then also coming soon is a new policies page. And that page is going to enable users to edit and copy custom policies. And it's going to make it a lot easier for users to build new policies off of existing ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big deal. Yeah. It's like a universal filter for every technology. I love policies. It's like my favorite piece of ASOC. It really is.
So, you gotta have a favorite part.
Yeah. Yes. It's the undeserving or unknown hero of the platform, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. How do you eat that elephant? Well, here's a toe. Oh, thank you, policy.
Right. And you know, as security becomes more a design factor and development teams kind of get more aware of it, do you guys see a space where you'd see developers configuring policies at kind of a early stage in a pipeline and then sort of increasing the strictness, if you will, of those policies as it moves through?
God, I hope not. Developers will just be like, oh, everything's filtered? That's weird.
No findings. Yay! Yeah,
We did it. Hooray. No, that's not a good idea. As a developer.
So the other thing, Kathleen, I noticed is there's some recent improvements to IaaS as well. And, you know, we had a, I think it was our second or third episode, we had a big thing on IaaS. But, you know, there's probably nearly a year on, well, maybe not quite that far. But, you know, at this stage, what sort of improvements are we doing to IaaS and what can people expect if they're using that?
So we launched IaaS in ASOC about a year ago. Initially, we went out with support for Java. In Q3, we added .NET. We had a lot of iterative improvements since then. And in January, we added support for Tomcat, and we improved taint tracking. But the big news is that in March or, you know, sometime soon thereafter, we'll be adding support for Node.js.
What? It's like the big three in languages these days.
We're really excited about IaaS. Our customers are too. And in fact, we're getting ready to publish our first IaaS customer testimonial.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Well, that is exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look forward to that. So, Chris, Node.js, you mentioned it's the third most. Is that true?
It seems to be. We get so many scans for Java, so many for .NET. Node.js is very, very close behind.
It's right up there.
It's right up there. It's crazy how popular it is. Like, you don't even notice it, but it's used quite extensively for back-end development or server-side stuff for JavaScript. Yeah. It's really, really nice that we're having IaaS for it. That's super cool.
Tell us some more about the domain view that was introduced as well.
Right. So in December, we also added a new capability with the domains view. This capability allows users within the web interface, they can see all the domains verified for DAS scanning. So it's going to provide details on how the domain was verified, whether it was by email from an admin of the site, or a file in the home directory, or manually through a support request. And then it's also going to show who requested the verification. And then another great feature that we added with domains is the ability to enable or disable a verified domain. So teams that want to have more control over verified domains, they can disable a URL, and then admins can also delete verified domains.
Oh, I know how frustrating that can be for some users. So that's fantastic that they'll be able to have that level of control. You're saying that's already in there, is it?
That's already in there. Yep. So that was delivered in December.
Excellent. And then the final thing that I asked you about, and you know, I think this is the most exciting of all of it, is tell us about the new vulnerability advisory upgrade.
Sure. This is a new, exciting project that we have with our advisories and fixed recommendations, where we've invested a lot of time into this. We're going to be consolidating all issue types and security data that we have across the different AppScan technologies to provide a unified experience in ASOC, regardless of what technology is used to scan. We've done a rewrite of the security articles with a developer-centric, kind of fix-centric focus, So now developers will be able to zero in on things that they should care about most in order to remediate detected vulnerabilities faster. So this is targeted for delivery in March to ASOC and then on-prem following quarter.
So March. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that soon either. So.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. But even if it's April, I'm excited. That's really
cool. Exactly. It can't be overstated or understated or whatever the right word is, but how just huge this is, this effort just from our implementation pain that we had to pay for to get there. But the payoff, what people are going to get out of it is just night and day compared to what it is today. I mean, right now you have to hunt around for the answer in three different places, really, to be able to get to how do I fix a cross-site scripting in this particular instance. Well, this is going to show you and it's going to give you code examples. And that is, I mean, it's just lights out better than what we have today.
And the code examples are in different languages as well. You know, so you can pick if you want to see it, PHP versus Java versus whatever. So all of that's great. Yeah. So, can't wait. Very exciting stuff. So it sounds it sounds like March is the month to look forward to, Kathleen. I can't wait.
We love this idea too, because you know the flaw in the thinking in a lot of places in the DevSecOps world over the last few years has been, if we do a good job pointing out vulnerabilities, people will know how to fix it, and that's just not the case. So providing those kind of examples that get beyond just kind of that initial layer, that's a huge win in the space, you know. And there's studies out there that talk about how the job satisfaction and how people's happiness with what they're doing, you know, goes way up when they get secure coding and secure coding training and have the ability to deal with these things in context. So this notion of having great advisories and recommendations is huge.
Yeah, it's the best weapon against guesswork that we could possibly provide. So it's a big deal.
Exactly. So those of you who you know, were following right around the Super Bowl, right after the Super Bowl on that Monday, there was a press conference held in a really tiny town called Oldsmar, Florida, which happens to be about 20 minutes outside of Tampa Bay, which is where the Super Bowl was held. And in that press conference, the local police and water district folks announced that someone had hacked into their water treatment facility and attempted to change the concentration of some of the chemicals inside the water. I believe it was sodium hydroxychloride, if I remember right, something like that. Basically, that hack put potentially could have put a lot of folks at risk. They, you know, multiplied by about a thousand times or so what the concentration should be, going from 100 parts per million to 11,100 parts per million, something like that. And fortunately, it was noticed by a worker in the facility who saw the whole thing happen on his screen and was able to take corrective action right away. But it was a really eye-opening experience of what happens when you allow remote access to critical infrastructure. And so there's been a lot of talk lately about the tooling and stuff that was involved.
What's interesting for me is that it's really hard to put it as a hack. I mean, basically, they're using a piece of software. I think it's called TeamViewer, and they're using it perfectly, legitimately, the way it's meant to be. And it is really just a case of that it's maybe being used inappropriately for the activity that it's intended for. I mean, it's kind of like if I wanted to go to that water facility, I'd have to get over the fence probably, past the guards that have the guns, past the video cameras to get into to use that computer.
Unless your password's Oldsmar123.
Right.
Or something silly like that. What do you think the odds of that password having all the level of complexity is it needs? I highly doubt it's a sentence mnemonic. I'm pretty sure it's Oldsmar123.
Yeah, and apparently it was installed on multiple machines, shared account, you know, so same user and password combination across a bunch of things, and on a bunch of older Windows 7 machines running 32-bit. So
the question is, why didn't they have the software? Why was it able to even get up to that level? Like, if it is harmful and you know it's harmful, why are you going to let it get to that level?
Why is it anything past viewing only. Yeah. You're allowing remote control? Right. Why?
Well, and I think what's interesting about this, right, is it speaks so much to this trade-off between ease of use and security, right, that we walk the line on every day. So if you think about, right, in the pandemic and people are working from home, you know, the water treatment facility folks need easy access to their systems. And so that's partly what happened, right? They allowed this to get in, but they didn't think about, is anybody else going to try to get in? So, you know, it was open to the public internet and, you know, were there firewalls in place? Like all of those questions come in. I think at the end of the day, right, it goes right back to, okay, we're trying to make everything easy, but we don't think about those edge cases, right? About where somebody else could come in and try to use something in a way that was unintended. So
threat modeling would have been helpful.
It really does highlight, you know, the problems that are coming because of COVID, that the shortcuts that we're taking and various other things, that level of security wouldn't happen in normal circumstances, probably. You know, it's like it's well, maybe it would, I don't know, but it shouldn't, right. You know. Do have to question, you know, what other exposures are out there like that. You know, as I said, I don't see it as a hack. I just see it as bad security policies and procedures, really. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's malicious use, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a small thing. You wouldn't think that a water treatment plant would be the target of somebody typing in Oldsmar123 and getting access. Like, I'm shocked this isn't held behind a VPN, where you have to have that at least with some kind of certificate on your local machine to get access, which would probably stop that Oldsmar123. I'm pretty sure that was the password. or something to find out.
It's like, maybe the O was a zero. Yeah.
Sir Oldsmar123! Exclamation point!
Point. Yes.
I wonder if the password was Go Buccaneers. You know,
oh wow! Or Go Buccaneers.
Brady is the goat, right?
Oh my god!
But I mean, you have to think about it, right? It's a public utility. It's a small town. You know, they probably have a very small IT budget. And like so many other places, right, we talk about AppSec all the time and this notion of protecting what's inside just as much as you protect the perimeter. But when you're saddled with limited resources, what do you do? Right? And so
that's easy. You buy TeamViewer.
So, guys, I noticed that we were talking about Florida and the Super Bowl. During the Super Bowl, Miley Cyrus was singing, I believe, yeah? And she's sporting a mullet. I don't know if you realize, but mullets are back in fashion. Are you aware of this? Have you noticed?
That would be a no. I have not noticed.
No.
Are we sure? Yeah.
I would hesitate to call them back in fashion, and I wonder more if it's just the fact that hair salons have not been allowed to be open in a lot of places. And so there's the risk of letting your close relatives cut your hair at home versus a professional might have something to do with that.
There's a whole BBC article on mullets being back in fashion. That's like, that's serious. A lot of celebrities now have mullets. Oh. Mostly women, I might add, not men.
If the BBC says it's back, then I guess.
I mean, I'm just dying of curiosity. Were mullets ever in fashion?
Oh, they were.
I want to know if this was ever a news ticker headline, like breaking news, mullets return.
Invest in a mullet, invest in your future.
Invest in a mullet.
Oh, it's an investment if you're going to go that route.
It's a full-on commitment.
That I did some research. It's not just mullets that are back in fashion. Baggy jeans are in fashion. Tie-dye shirts. So people are at home doing tie-dye, stuff like that. Bomber jackets are back.
When were bomber jackets ever out of fashion? Those things are awesome.
Chris, they were.
Yeah, exactly.
They were, Chris. They were out of fashion.
Oh, my gosh. How?
Trench coats. Remember trench coats? Well, apparently it's cool to wear a trench coat again. And oversized Bermuda shorts. All of them are back in fashion.
Jeez, are we getting a return to the late 60s and early 70s then? Or
like, whenever updated the wardrobe and finally going, my time has come.
That's right. We're only 5 years away from a return of the neon revolution.
As long as shoulder pads don't come back in fashion.
Oh, no. Shoulder pads are next if mullets are back.
That's right. Big hair.
Oh, man.
That's
right.
Oh, that's see, that's it. There's your new campaign slogan. It's going to be big hair, big head, big change. No Monday.
But the other one that's interesting is I saw somewhere that millennials, when they're designing their homes now, so they're much younger than us, obviously, but they're going back to the sort of things that our grandparents would have had in the house. So florally wallpaper, really retro, old-fashioned seating and things like that.
Oh no, shag carpeting and stupid wood paneling. No, don't do it.
Plastic on the couch.
Oh god. No, don't do it.
There's kind of a little bit of a minimalist piece to it, right? Like really thin lighting fixtures that are using LEDs that illuminate really well.
It's more antiques. Antiques are in fashion. Now maybe that's a European thing and not a US thing, but you know, antique furniture, florally patterns, crazy wallpaper, all of those things.
Tubs.
Wow. And mullets.
It wouldn't be complete without mullets, honestly. If we're being, you know, perfectly honest. Mullets deserve a comeback.
Wow.
We're closely approaching the end of another wonderful episode. Rob, just a few words maybe on our next episode and our guest who we've got on.
Yeah, we're very excited about this too. Our next episode, we're going to be talking to Vandana Verma, who was part of the OWASP board and runs an organization called InfoSec Girls that teaches technology and cybersecurity to women around the world. Super excited to talk to her about just what the work going on with OWASP, what that means for organizations, the fact that they're looking to release a new OWASP top 10 this year, and then also the work that she's done for STEM, diversity and inclusion. So it's going to be a great conversation. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I Vandana, huge reputation. So really looking forward to having a chat to her. So.
Yeah, she's awesome. Spoken at a lot of conferences, OWASP events, that kind of thing. And she's part of the board again this year as well.
Yeah. So we can ask lots of OWASP questions. Excellent. Yep. So anyway, really great being with you all. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rob. And thank you, Kathleen, for joining
you.
Us as well.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Yay. Always good to see you guys.
Always good.